Is that 1 minute or go? That means go. Thumbs up. I'm sorry. I thought you gave me 1 minute. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to guess what book? Hebrews. Go to chapter 2. What's ahead is better than what's behind. And the title of this morning's sermon is Don't Drift. Don't Drift. We begin in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, but we're really going to focus this morning on verse 1. Who remembers what we talked about in the first two sermons of this series? Who did we talk about? We talked about Christ and the fact that Christ is superior to what? He's superior to the angels. He's superior to humans. He has the name that is above all names. And we talked about last Sunday that that name is not just something we tag onto the end of a prayer because it sounds spiritual, but there is power in the name of Christ. When we talk about the name of Christ, we're talking about all that He is. All that He does, all that He says. And your Bible may not say it this way, but as we begin chapter 2 of Hebrews, we're going to add the word therefore. Because Christ is superior to all, and because God the Father has put all things under His authority, therefore, we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Okay, if you'll go to the next slide, please. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Let's go back to verse 1 for a moment. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. I'm curious this morning, how many of you are into boating? Specifically, well, any kind of boat. Rowboats, motorboats, powerboats, fishing boats. Any of you? Canoes, kayaks, none of you? Parked boats. Well, parked boats don't go anywhere. What happens if you get into a boat and you do not run the motor, you do not put the paddles or oars in the water and begin to use them? What will happen to the boat? It will drift. I want to give you an illustration of drifting that you'll see on the screen, and then I want to give you an illustration here in-house. Those of you online, I apologize, you'll probably not be able to actually see the in-house illustration, but I will try to describe it to you. Let's go to the next slide for a moment. What you see there, and those of you online, you will see this slide. What I am showing you there is 1 degree. An angle of 1 degree. Doesn't look like much, does it? And it doesn't matter what size I would have made that. An angle of 1 degree is always 1 degree. Doesn't look like much, does it? And yet, if you begin a journey and you are off by 1 degree, here's what you get. Let's go to the next few slides and you can follow along. If you are going somewhere and you're off course by just 1 degree, after just traveling 1 foot, you will miss your target by 0.2 inches. Charlie, how much is 0.2 inches? It's not much, is it? It's not even 1/4 inch off. Well, that doesn't seem like much, does it? That's not so bad. It's trivial, right? But yet after 100 yards, the length of a football field, you will be off by 5.2 feet. After a mile, you will be off course by 92.2 feet. Now all of a sudden you realize that 1 degree of drift makes a difference. If you travel from San Francisco to Los Angeles, you'll miss your mark by 6 miles. If you travel from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., you will end up not in Washington, D.C., but you will end up in Baltimore, 42.6 miles away. If you decide to travel around the globe, starting in Washington, D.C., and once you got and you're 1 degree off, you will miss your mark when you come back around by 435 miles, and you will wind up in Boston, Massachusetts. If you're in a rocket traveling to the moon, you will miss your mark by 4,169 miles. That is twice the diameter of the moon. If you decide to travel to the sun, and how many of you know how you can travel to the sun without burning up? Do you know how? You go at night. Sorry, that's a modified blonde joke. No offense to the blondes out there. If you are going to the sun and you are off by 1 degree when you begin your journey, you will be off by 1.6 million miles, which is nearly twice the diameter of the sun. If you were to travel to the nearest star outside our solar system and you're off by 1 degree, you would be off by 441 billion miles. That is 120 times the distance from Earth to Pluto, or 4,745 times the distance from Earth to Sun. Over time, a drift of 1 degree makes a lot of difference. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're saying, Pastor, those numbers just totally left me behind, right? I'll leave this in place so that you can get an idea in-house. When we laid these carpet square tiles, we actually started in the middle and worked our way out to each wall. But I want you to imagine that we started at one wall and worked our way straight across. And I calculated this, and those of you that are watching online, I apologize, I'll be off camera for a moment. But this little red thumbtack that's even with this edge of this window is right on the seam. If we had, and I say we, those that helped lay this, and my boys were two of the main ones, if we had been off 1 degree when we started laying that first tile, by the time we got across here to the other wall, we would have been off by just over 6 3/4 inches, and you can come over later and see the two thumbtacks here, and imagine if we had laid the entire sanctuary starting from back to front and had been off 1 degree from the beginning, how crooked these carpet tiles would have been by the time we would have reached the front of the church. All right? I want you to come later and come to this side, and you'll see the seam here, and imagine being off that much. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's great. I'm not into boating. I don't travel that much, and I rely on the sidewalks and roads to get me where I'm supposed to be. So what does this have to do with us and the book of Hebrews? Well, it's simply this. We are living in an age, and it's always been this way, but it's getting worse and worse. We are living in an age where too many of us are becoming so wrapped up and busy in living our lives that we forget about the importance of staying true and faithful to God, to Christ, and to the Word of God. Amen. My job is just so busy. My family takes up so much of my time. Oh, I've got to have my hobbies to relax. And if we're not careful, our life will begin to slowly drift. And at first it doesn't seem like much, but over the course of time, suddenly we have drifted so far away from where God wants us that we're only going through the motions and we're not truly serving Him. Back up to that slide that shows that 1 degree angle again. It's not much, is it? 1 degree. A circle is made up of 360 degrees. The average corner, if it's built well, has 90 degrees. Okay, just to give you, a straight line is 180 degrees. 1 degree is not much, and yet I've just shown you that if 1 degree off target may not be much when you start your journey, but after a period of time, it's a long ways off. Perhaps one of the greatest illustrations in our modern day that I'm aware of, there was a gentleman, I will not name him. Those of you, if you kept up with the University of New Mexico basketball over the last 30, 40 years, might know who I'm talking about. They had a man that was the coach. He was a great coach. He was a good man. He was a good Christian man. He made no bones about the fact that he was a follower of Christ. In fact, he was known for trying to make sure his schedule was such so that he could teach the adult Sunday school class at his church in Albuquerque. He was known as a great Bible teacher. And then he got what was kind of considered, I guess in his mind, his dream job. He got to go to a university that still has ties with one of the largest denominations in the Christian world in America. And it was there that suddenly, after a very few seasons, we began to understand and the public became aware of how far he had drifted. And this man, this coach, used those exact words. He says, "I didn't get to where I'm at overnight. It was a slow drift." You see what happened when he was at this university? Players that he recruited and helped got caught with drugs. One of them got so caught up in some things with drugs that he was murdered by another player. And this coach tried to help cover up that it was a murder when he knew better. And it all started because, by his own admission, it all started because the pressure to win became such that he began to just slowly make little, tiny, trivial compromises with the rules. Isn't that how it starts? Well, I know that's not really right, but it's such a minor thing, it won't matter. But then we get comfortable with the 1 degree, and suddenly we keep going, and we compromise a little more, and we compromise a little more. And before we know it, we're so far off from where we were. We're so far off from who we really should be, from who most people think we are, that suddenly we're in trouble. The Christian world right now, certain ones are reeling from the revelation that a man many of us looked up to, that was one of the greatest apologists and Bible teachers in the last 25, 30 years, to find out now that he's passed on, they've investigated. He was still a great teacher. What he said was truth, but his life was not true because he allowed himself to drift. So how do you stop a drifting boat from drifting? What do you do? Well, one of the first things you've got to do is you've got to drop an anchor. Can I tell you that there are many of us right now sitting here in this room, there are many listening right now over the internet, that the first thing we've got to do if we are drifting at all is we need to drop an anchor and stop where we're at and get back in touch with the Lord so He can bring us back on course. Amen? Amen. So here's the anchor that we need to drop today to avoid drifting. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we begin in verse 16, and we're going to walk through these verses this morning for just a few minutes. Paul says, "So I say, live by the Spirit." Now, I want everybody's focus up here. Even my tech team. I want to see your eyes this morning. Here in the back. Yeah, stretch up there above that monitor for a moment. I want you to ask yourself this question this morning, and I want you to answer it honestly. Is what you have been doing for the last 6 months, does it in any way qualify as living by the Holy Spirit? Or have you been too busy doing your own thing? You see, there's a lot of things that can make us drift. Some of us drift because we get caught up in the pleasures of life. Some of us drift because we allow our thought life to go to places it shouldn't. I'll tell you right now, the last year, too many Christians have been feeding their thought life on the news and on the conspiracy theories, and you need to stop it, because I can tell you, if that's what you're feeding on, you have drifted miles off course. Because if we're still on course, we understand our task is still the same. Our task is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes. Pandemic or no pandemic. Yes. Stolen election or no stolen election. Chinese interference, no Chinese. I don't care what's going on. The church's job is still the same. And if we have been feeding our minds on anything else than the Word of God, we have drifted off course. Amen. Has your life reflected what it means to live by the Spirit? Well, maybe you're sitting there saying, you know, Pastor, I'm not really sure what that means. Well, let's go on through here and see what Paul says to the church in Galatia. He says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's time for a truth poll. How many of you in the last month have done, said, or thought something that satisfied the desires of the sinful nature? Every hand ought to go up. It happens. But the idea is that when it does, and the minute the Spirit reveals to us or nudges us that what we're doing is not pleasing to God and it's not living by Him, then we need to immediately do what? Repent. Apologize to God and ask for the strength of the Holy Spirit to move on and not do it again. Paul says in verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Folks, how many of you understand? We are in a battle. Anybody that tells you coming to Jesus Christ is going to make life just hunky-dory fine and a bed of roses is lying to you. Following Christ is to enter into spiritual battle. But it's well worth it, because the retirement plan is out of this world. Amen. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, that was one of the things the Jewish nation had trouble comprehending. They thought that if they just obeyed the law that God had given them through Moses, that they would be okay. But we have to understand, the law of the Old Testament, the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts, if you do this, don't do that, those were never meant to save us. They were simply there to point out to us how much in need we are of a Savior. We can't keep the law perfectly. None of us can. There's only one who ever walked upon this earth that ever did, and that was Jesus Christ. And He did it to show us the impossibility as humans of keeping the law perfectly. And He says, that's why I've come. I'm come to fulfill the law and to take your place and to pay the penalty and the price for your sin so that you can be saved through grace. If we want an anchor that will keep us from drifting, we need to live by the Spirit. Paul says in verse 19 of Galatians 5, the acts of the sinful nature are hidden? No. What does it say? Obvious. Oh, obvious. Somebody told me before service, says, I saw you this week. I said, oh, really? Where? They named one of the local stores that they happen to work at that I shop at. Well, I thought maybe they'd see me somewhere besides the obvious. Person's waving to me back there. Friends, do you realize humanity does not need for us to tell them they're sinners? It's obvious. There's not a corrupt politician that needs us to tell them they're being corrupt. They know it. They're not being corrupt by accident. There's not a person sitting in a church in America today that needs us to tell them when they're sinning. They know it. It's obvious. Look, Paul says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and he lists some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It's not a complete list. How many of you know that if we were going to list the obvious behavior and actions of the sinful nature, we could be here a long time? Paul says, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a problem. It's not a case of if we every once in a while we slip and we slip into and we do something that is contrary to the word of God. Once in a while, that's not the problem. The problem is that when we begin to drift, it's not an occasional thing. It becomes the very essence of our life. And all of a sudden, we wake up one morning and we realize that we're not as close to the Lord as we were 6 months ago. Amen. And we wonder, how in the world did I get here? Well, if we're honest about it, we look back and we can look over the path we traveled the last 6 months and we realize that we have drifted. And it's not a sudden drift. It's not a quick right turn or left turn. It's a drift. That is why it becomes so important that every day of your life you arise and you ask for the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct you. You ask Him to give you the power and the boldness to walk in the Spirit that day. It's why it's so important that every day you put your face into the Word of God and you read what God's Word says and you ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind to understand it and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to obey it that day. You drop that anchor so that you don't drift. And here's the other part of it. When you lift that anchor so that you can move, you make sure you move with purpose and intentionality. I know I just saw this again. This comes up quite frequently among pastors about how important it is for us as pastors to make sure that we do what we tell you to do, and that is to take a Sabbath day's rest. I like what this. I just read, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember which pastor wrote this. He said, Pastor, you need a day of rest, and it's not Sunday. For pastors, Sunday's not a day of rest, it's our work day. But he says, you need to be taking a day off during the week to rest. But you got to be careful when you take that day of rest. That doesn't mean that you're idle and allow the enemy to infiltrate your mind to do things that you shouldn't be doing. You need to rest with intentionality. Even your very day of rest should bring honor and glory to God the Father. The illustration that was given in whatever I read this week said that a pastor or a preacher visited the area of Pennsylvania where the coal mines are. Back in the day where they used the mules to bring the coal up out of the mines. And he noticed when he got there on a particular day that it didn't look like they were going to accomplish much because in the fields all around the mines were just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of mules lounging around in the fields and eating. And he said, what in the world is going on? one of the miners explained it to him. He said, we have discovered that if we work those mules 7 days a week, it isn't long until they go blind from being in the mines in the darkness so long and the coal dust. But if we'll let them rest out in the sunshine in the field 1 day a week, they work better, they work harder, and they don't go blind. Some of us begin to drift, either by being too idle, or some of us begin to drift because we're too busy. Which are you? Live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. But in verse 22 of Galatians 5, Paul gives us what we need to be striving for in our lives on a daily basis. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And here's the part of the fruit of the Spirit that I believe will help us the most in not drifting. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. What does it mean to crucify? What is the status of something or someone that's been crucified? What is their status? Huh? They're dead. If we will crucify the sinful nature by allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow daily in our lives, we'll stop the drift. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Please go back to the 1 degree slide, both in-house and online. Folks, I will tell you, during the last year, this pandemic, a lot of people who claim to be followers of Christ, who claim to be faithful Christians, who claim to be faithful parts and members of their church body, have drifted. Because they allowed the waves and the wind of what was happening in the world around them to push them off course. Folks, you've got to drop an anchor. And then you've got to take in hand the oars of obedience and the oars of walking in the Spirit and start rowing and get yourself back on course. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one and done. It's daily. Because if we let our guard down for even one day, we begin to drift. And in one day, you may not drift much. It may not seem like anything. It may not even be a full 1 degree that you're off. It may be a half a degree. But without a course correction. I heard the illustration. We talked about those at the beginning, how far off you'd be traveling certain distances. I actually saw that same illustration back a couple of years ago. It said that when a ship gets ready to pull out of San Francisco, and they are headed to Japan. The illustration was actually put up by a minister who had been on board a ship, and he knew the captain, and he got to go, I guess, on the bridge. And he noticed that every so often the captain would call with some command, and he's like, what does that command mean? What is that order you're giving them? And he says, it's a course correction. He says we have to constantly monitor the wind. We have to constantly monitor the tide. We have to constantly monitor the waves and the currents. Because as we're going, if we did, we start out and we've got it pointed right at where we want to go. But he says, if we're not monitoring what's going on around us and taking readings of certain things to constantly be correcting the course, he says, if we didn't do that, we would not wind up in Japan. We'd be 200, 250 miles south of Japan. Folks, listen to me. I don't care how long you and I have been walking with the Lord, we need to do a daily course correction because the enemy is going to send the waves and the winds and the undercurrents and everything he can against us to get us off course. Daily we do a course correction. As a matter of fact, some of us probably ought to be doing a course correction every hour or two. Amen? And that's not so much an ouch hallelujah per se, as it is simply the fact that as we grow closer and closer to the return of Christ, the enemy is going to intensify the storms. Course correction. Constantly. And that course correction might simply be putting on praise music to get your mind back on Christ for a few minutes. It might be picking up your Bible again and reading a verse. It might be quoting in your mind a verse that you've memorized. It might be saying a short little prayer. It might be asking a friend to simply pray for you. It might be something as simple as saying, you know what? I'm going to sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody that's positive in my life. I'm going to tell some of you, you work with people that are very negative. Can I tell you? You need to be doing course corrections a lot because the truth is, after 8 or 12 hours with some of your coworkers, I know a couple of you real well. I know your coworkers. I will tell you right now, you come home so far off course, it isn't funny. You have drifted. And you can start to do things throughout the day to help yourself not drift. Amen? And I know what I'm talking about because I used to work in a firm that had more employees than where you work. And believe me, some of my coworkers are more negative than the ones you work with. I did have the advantage. I could throw the headphones on and ignore them once in a while. I know you can't do that. But you can do other things. Sometimes it's a simple case of stopping for 5 seconds. Saying, Lord, I'm drifting. Put me back on course. And the Holy Spirit will do that if you'll let Him. He has the power. He has the ability. You have to have the desire. Amen? Let me run that by you again. The Holy Spirit always has the power and the ability to correct your course. You have to be willing to let Him. So I ask you today, how many of you are ready to stop drifting and get back on course? I am. But I can't just do this now and think I'm set for the week. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I know around here there's been plumbing things that have had to be changed in the last 16 years a lot of times. Doug and the guys that work for him have had to come do some of them. Some of them, I think Doug would probably be upset with me if I called him about changing a little rubber gasket on the shower faucet. You know, something I can do in 5 minutes. I think you would be upset if I called you about that, wouldn't you? Yeah. What are you wasting my time for, Pastor? You know how to do that. I would love it if we could just come in and fix the plumbing in this property one time and it never have to be touched again. Wouldn't that be great? How many of you like getting a haircut? I don't. I would like to be able to go to the barber once, having cut my hair, and if it was perfect, freeze my hair and it never be touched again. Never grow, never recede. Never go bald. Hey, watch it. But that's not how it works, is it? We're constantly having to do repairs and maintenance on things, whether it be our hair or the plumbing, or whatever it may be, our cars, whatever it may be. We're always having to do that. Then why do we think it's any different with our spiritual walk? Daily we need a course correction. And the more that we make it an important, vital part of our routine, the easier it is to not drift, because we're always correcting the course. Always. We will become, here's the thing, the Holy Spirit wants you to become so sensitive to His presence that when you are even off course by a fourth of one degree, you will know it and correct the course. Don't wait till you're, I mean, literally, the building across here is slightly over 30 feet wide. And literally, a one degree mess up from that side to that side will throw you off by a little over 6 3/4 inches. Really? 1 degree? Well, if it'll do that in a 30-foot walk across this sanctuary, imagine what that 1 degree will do in your life throughout a week. Amen? Let's get back on course, shall we? Let's go to prayer this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. I don't care who you are. Stand with me this morning. I want you on your feet. I want you, no matter who you are, to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to help you right now to every day, daily, hourly, minute by minute, perhaps, to nudge us every time we need that course correction. And when He nudges you, don't just say, oh, later. You know, it only takes 5 seconds to correct your course. Amen? Amen? 5 seconds. If you're so busy you can't afford 5 seconds for your spiritual health, you've got a problem. You're too busy. Amen? Amen? Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord God, we pray that we will recognize the fact that Christ is so superior to everything that we need to make sure we never drift. And if we start to, may we be sensitive enough to the nudging of the Holy Spirit that we will immediately make a course correction. And Lord God, as we do that, may people around us see that we're living our life in such a way that it will become attractive to them and they will be drawn to the Lord, so that we will have the opportunity to bring them into a relationship with Christ. Now, Lord, as we leave this place today, go with us. May we drop the anchor when we need it to stop drifting. May we correct the course, and may we stay on that path that You have laid out for us. We ask it in Your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Greet somebody, encourage them, so they'll stay on course as well. God bless you.